Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert tonight. This is Rod Young in place of Lori, as John mentioned earlier. And Lori is away this week at a financial conference, and she will return next week. So great to be here. Today is November 11th, 2015. Like Lori, I am employed by Valley National, colleague of hers for the past 7 years. I am a certified public accountant, certified financial planner, and always love to give Lori a break and fill in for her on the show. So we are live tonight. Keep that in mind, and we are glad to take your questions. Judy Ann is here in the studio with us this evening. She'll answer your calls, take your information, ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without any confusion. If you would prefer not to go live on the air, you may ask Judy Ann your question. She'll write it down, pass it on to me, and I will do my best to answer it. We discuss general financial planning topics on the show. We do not discuss specific investments, and while we typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I'll do my best to answer them for you. So to call in tonight with a question, if you have one, is the phone number is 610-758-8810. I'll repeat that. That's 610-758-8810. Also, you may email questions to www.yourfinancialchoices.com. So, I know Lori last week had on some guests from the United Way of the Greater Lehigh Valley discussing making a difference in the community. Next week, Lori, as I mentioned, will be back, and she will have a guest, Steve Stelzman of the Mortgage Company, and I believe Steve has been on the show in the past, and they will be discussing repairing credit and applying for a mortgage. And I know that the mortgage application process has changed significantly over the past 5 to 7 years since the financial crisis. So for anyone who's contemplating going through that process would be very, I'd encourage you to tune in. Could be a very informative show for you next week. So tonight, no guests. It's just me. And I felt, given that we are fast approaching the end of the year, it's hard to believe another year is just about behind us. But I thought for tonight, the topic would be year-end financial and income tax planning. I think we still will have plenty to talk about tonight, and some of the things we'll talk about, there's still plenty of time in 2015 to take care of some planning issues and help regarding 2015, particularly from an income tax planning perspective. And we'll also talk about some maybe more general financial planning issues that pertain to the end of 2015. And we'll also try to get you off thinking about, I know we're not quite there yet, but thinking about 2016 and maybe getting off on the right foot financially in 2016. So before we dive into the topic tonight, let's just give you a quick update regarding the financial markets today. So the Dow Jones Industrial Average today was down, down by 55.99 points to 17,702.22. So it was down 0.32% today. Year to date, the Dow is down a little under 1%. It's down 0.68% year to date. The NASDAQ composite today was down 16.22 points to 5,067.02. That's down 0.32% today. And the S&P 500 was also down today by 6.72 points to 2,075, also a drop of 0.32%. Real quick, year-to-date, the NASDAQ is up. It's up by 6.99% year-to-date. The S&P 500 is up slightly year-to-date. It is up 0.78%. So it has been a bit of a sideways, choppy year for the markets. We've got a couple of those major indexes that are up slightly year-to-date, and the NASDAQ is up almost 7%. So great to be here with you all. One more housekeeping item before we dive into the topic tonight. Lori's asked me to touch upon a call from last week. She had a caller named David who asked if she knew of any internal rate of return calculators that would be available online. She did a quick search, and while we're not endorsing any particular calculator, she suggested to just Google internal rate of return calculator, see what you come up with. One specific site that she came up with, again, we can't recommend a site, she just wanted to mention this one because at least it seemed to allow to enter periods of time and various cash flows. So the site was www.pine-grove.com /online calculators. So see what you come up with, David. Again, not endorsing that. We haven't tested that site at all. Also, David, I know just from my own personal experience, if you're familiar with Microsoft Excel, there are great internal rate of return functions within Microsoft Excel that allow you to build IRR calculations. So anyway, David, if you're listening tonight, that's follow-up from your call to Lori on last week's show. So getting into our topic tonight, again, talking about year-end financial planning, year-end income tax planning, I can tell you that at least at Valley National, and I know from talking with financial planners and tax professionals around the country, the last 2 months of the year is a very, very busy time for us as we try to help clients with year-end planning issues and kind of tidy things up before the end of the year. And so I know that we will be, you know, pushing very hard from now till the last week of December, focusing primarily on final end of the year income tax estimates and projections, so we can help people to make sure that they're getting taxes paid appropriately and taking advantage of any tax savings opportunities before the end of the year. A big part of that will come into play is planning for capital gains and losses. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. Another thing that we do between now and the end of the year is assess for our clients whether or not a tactical Roth IRA conversion makes sense for them. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. And then there is the requirement when you reach a certain age that you take a required minimum amount out of your retirement accounts. And there's a December 31st deadline for that. So I'll make sure, amongst other things, that we're touching upon that topic as well. So getting into a little more detail, we'll start with actually a topic that I talked about a few weeks ago in September. So I'll tell you what, we have to go to a break, and when we come back, I'll kick that off. Be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Hi, everyone. Rod Young here on Your Financial Choices, hosting in place of Lori Siebert tonight. We are about to dive into year-end income tax and financial planning. If you have a question for me on this topic or any other financial topic, please feel free to give us a call. The number to call is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Talk to Judy Ann. And she'll put you through to me, or she'll take down your question. And you can also email your questions to www.yourfinancialchoices.com. So, year-end planning. I've got a long list of things to touch upon tonight. So, one, I'll start off with a topic. I hosted the show for Lori back on September 9th, and the show I did that night was titled Open Enrollment, A Look at Your Employer Benefits. So it may not be too late to enroll in some tax savings employer plans for 2016. So I encourage you to take a good close look at what your employer is offering. Some of the ones I would highlight would be a flexible spending account. So that is an account for healthcare expenses that allows you to put pre-tax money up to $2,550 into an account that can be used for next year's healthcare expenses. It is a use it or lose it type of account, so you want to do a good job to try to estimate what your out-of-pocket medical expenses will be for next year. But not only are you saving on income tax, but you are also saving on Social Security and Medicare tax by making contributions to that type of account. And a quick note on the use it or lose it provisions, there are two possible ways around that. One is that your plan may offer a 2.5-month grace period at the end of the year that allows you to incorporate those expenses into what you put into the $2,550. Or the plan may allow for a carryover of up to $500 of the amount that you contribute. That could be carried over to the following year. They can't offer both of those, but the plan may offer one of those provisions to help mitigate that use it or lose it feature. Another type of account that you could get enrolled in now for 2016 is a dependent care account. And again, similar types of tax savings. You're saving both income and FICA tax. The limit's actually higher. You can put in up to $5,000 if you're married couple, and it's to be used for qualified dependent care expenses. And simply be aware also that may have an impact on your tax return. There is something called the dependent care tax credit, so you can't double dip and use those same dollars pre-tax into a dependent care account and take a dependent care credit for those dollars. Typically, when we do the math on that over the years, folks, the dependent care account usually provides a little more juice in terms of total tax savings than the dependent care credit, but not always, usually. So take a look at those employer plans and be aware of their availability and enroll if it makes sense in your situation. Okay. What about health savings accounts and high deductible health plans. We could do an entire show or do a series on this topic probably. But as you are evaluating your 2016 health insurance options, and I'll touch upon some key dates later on in the show regarding the current open enrollment period for healthcare plans. Just be aware of the fact that you can purchase a high deductible plan and then establish a health savings account by which you put in pre-tax dollars to be used for future medical expenses. And one of the neat features about the health savings account that differs from the flexible spending account that I talked about a minute ago is that there's no use it or lose it provision on the health savings account. And so you can put money in 2016 and use you can allow that to just continue to grow and use it for expenses in 2020 or 2021 out into the future. There are limits on the amount that you can put in, and there are definitions of qualified healthcare expenses and all that. And then there are specific definitions of what is considered a high deductible health plan. But certainly between now and the end of the year, as you're evaluating your 2016 health insurance options, keep in mind how these health savings accounts work. The annual limits, by the way, I do have those for 2016. I believe they've already been released. So the annual limit is, I have it right here, $6,750 for a family plan. And I believe it is $3,350 for someone with self-only coverage. And then if you are age 55 or over, there is an additional $1,000 per spouse that is over age 55 that you can contribute pre-tax to a health savings account. I won't bother to get into what the thresholds are to be defined as a high deductible health plan. Tonight, just want to make sure you're thinking along those lines as you're evaluating your 2016 options. So next on my list here, as we talk about year-end planning, is to evaluate, and I could pound on this one repeatedly, to evaluate your 401k participation. And evaluate it from several different perspectives. First of all, evaluate how much you are contributing. And by the way, there's still a few more paydays left in 2015, so it's not too late if your cash flow permits and you haven't gotten quite as much as you would like to into your 401k for 2015. Chances are you could significantly increase for the amount you're putting in for the last couple pays of the year and get closer to those annual limits. The 2015 limit is $18,000 unless you are age 55 or over. Age 50 or over, and then you have a catch-up contribution of an additional $6,000. So evaluate your participation level. And even if you don't ramp up and catch up for 2015, then at a minimum, evaluate your participation level and for how you're going to start 2016. Keep in mind that if you turn age 50 at any time next year, that you can, you're entitled to that $6,000 catch-up contribution. So even if you don't turn, your birthday isn't until December, still makes you eligible for the catch-up contribution. So you could start putting that in January and spread it out over the course of the entire year. Another thing that we'll talk about in a minute when we come back from break is evaluating pre-tax versus Roth participation in your employer's 401k. So we'll be back in a minute, folks.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Hi, everyone. Rod Young back. That's a quick break on that one. So here I am. We are talking year-end planning on your financial choices this evening, year-end financial planning, year-end tax planning. If you have a question, 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Would love to take your call and do my best to answer your question, whether it's on year-end tax planning or some other financial topic. So if you're out there and it's just on your mind and you want to see if you can get an answer, feel free to give me a call. So one of the year-end planning household kind of cleanup items I was just talking about was for you to consider evaluating your 401k participation from both a dollar amount standpoint and then also for the type of contributions you're making. So investigate your plan. And I've talked about this a few times over the years on the show in terms of make sure you understand your plan and does your plan offer a designated Roth account. And so just to quickly go over that, you can make a pre-tax contribution to a 401k that saves you tax money now, or if your plan allows for it, you can make an after-tax contribution to a Roth account within the 401k, and that just means that in the future, assuming you make qualified withdrawals from the 401k, the withdrawals from a Roth account are tax-free, including no tax on the growth on the Roth account, as opposed to making the pre-tax account where you will pay tax on that money and the growth on that money when you draw it out in the future in retirement. So I'm a big fan of Roth accounts. The same limits apply. So it's an $18,000 limit or $24,000 if you are eligible for the catch-up contribution. And it's not an all or nothing limit. So you could do some pre-tax and some Roth as long as it doesn't exceed $18,000 or $24,000 in total, depending on your age. So investigate that. It always surprises me. People are not aware of this. It's been around for a few years now, these Roth accounts within the 401k. Not all employers offer it. A lot of people don't even know to ask about it. So again, I'll stop preaching on that one. That's just a big hot button of mine because I am a big fan of the Roth. Okay, so traditional year-end tax planning then typically focuses on two things, and that is timing of income, timing of deductions, plain and simple. Those are the two major pieces of year-end tax planning. So when we talk about timing of income, you may think, well, really, what control do I have over the timing of my taxable income? And to some degree, you may not have a lot of control over it. You don't have control over when a bonus is paid. You may not have control over when when salary is paid or what have you. You don't have control over the timing of capital gains distributions from mutual funds. But there are certain areas of income that you definitely have some control over, and that is when we talk about timing of income and timing of deductions, a lot of what we're talking about focuses on whether or not you expect the next tax year to be similar or very different from the current tax year. So you have to take a look at your tax circumstances and evaluate, is 2015 very different for some reason than what you expect 2016 to be? It could be an unexpected or one-time large income item or large deduction item in 2015 has changed the tax bracket that you're in. Or maybe similar in 2016, there's something one time that you know is going to happen in 2016 that could affect it, you know, affect your tax bracket from one year to the next. Or maybe you're retiring. maybe you retired this year and now next year your income is going to change dramatically. And so what do you do? And so where we start, just kind of running through on the income side of things, where do you have some control? Well, regarding capital gains, you definitely have control over whether or not you take gains and losses this year. And we'll talk a little bit later about harvesting or losses and that sort of thing. But I think a starting point is to really understand what is your true tax bracket when it comes to capital gains, when it comes to qualified dividends. It's possible, believe it or not, that you could be taxed at 0% for federal tax purposes for capital gains and long-term capital gains and qualified dividends. It's possible that your long-term gains could be taxed at 15%. It's possible they could be taxed at 20%. It's possible they could be taxed that an additional 3.8% net investment income tax could be tacked on top of it. And so year-end planning and evaluating whether you expect to be subject, what rates you expect to be subject to this year versus next year, can really, really pay off. And I think it is well worthwhile to take the time to understand your true tax bracket. What about those of you out there who happen to have employer stock options that have been granted to you? You have control over the timing of when you exercise stock options or when you realize that, you know, that income. And so I do quite a bit of evaluating from a tax standpoint what the consequences are of a stock option exercise this year versus a stock option exercise next year. One thing to be very careful about is to appropriately weigh the tax consequences versus the value of the stock and the time horizon you have remaining on your stock options. But that is definitely an area we work with a lot and where you have a lot of control over the timing of income. Another area is if you have savings bonds and you want to cash those in. If you think you're in a higher tax bracket this year than next year, that's ordinary interest income, then wait until January to cash in the savings bonds. Or if you know you're going to need the money next year and you know you're in a lower tax bracket this year, then go ahead and accelerate that income into 2015. If you are a business, say self-employed individual, you can control the timing to some degree of when you bill clients at the end of the year and when you collect as a cash basis taxpayer, when you collect that income. So you may have work that you've done for clients in 2015, and if you've happened to have had a very good 2015, you may want to wait a little bit on sending out that year-end invoice and then collect that money from your clients in January, again, to push that income into 2016. I mentioned earlier the topic of tactical Roth IRA conversions. Sounds fancy, and all what we really are doing there, and we do this every year for many clients. I'm going to be doing these kind of calculations between now and the middle of December. What are your tax circumstances this year? Do they allow for you to convert some pre-tax IRA money to some after-tax Roth IRA at zero or very low tax rate? And I have had circumstances over the years where we have been able to convert significant amounts of pre-tax retirement account money to after-tax Roth and paying virtually no tax on the conversion, because we have taken advantage of some unique tax circumstances that have presented themselves in a particular year. Maybe there's a tax credit that you can use up. I've had one I've worked on for the last couple of years where we're using up an energy credit by doing these tactical Roth conversions, or maybe you had an unusual loss or a very large charitable contribution that took you to a 0% tax bracket. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back and continue on this topic.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're tuned to WDIY Allentown, and you're listening to Your Financial Choices with Rod Young in this evening for Lori
Siebert.
Thank you. Currently 63 degrees. Tonight, a slight chance of showers with the low around 44. Tomorrow, Thursday, a 70% chance of showers, mainly between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m., cloudy with a high near 59. Thursday night, a low of 43. We're going to have sunshine on Friday with a high near 54 and breezy. Friday night, a low of 37 degrees, and Saturday, we're plunging. Our high is 49 with sunshine. Saturday night, a low of 33 degrees. And we continue now with your financial choices and Rod Young.
All right, everyone, I'm back. And John, don't worry, I won't tell Lori that. That's between us and all the listeners tonight. So anyway, folks, we're talking about year-end planning. And the number to call if you have a question, 610-758-8810. I'm here and would love to take your call. And talking about, maybe I'm just a dorky accountant, but I love talking about like tactical Roth IRA conversions. Anyway, and it is one of my favorite things because I know that I have helped many people over the years accumulate significant buckets of Roth IRA money in incredibly tax efficient ways. A great thing to be looking at. And typically we wait until this time of the year to look at them so that we have as much information about the current tax year as we possibly can so we can really hone in on those Roth IRA conversion calculations. So that's it on that from a year-end planning standpoint. One side note, and I get asked this question more and more, and I think it's because of what, you know, what the cost of Medicare is today, and then the fact that Medicare premiums go up as your gross income goes up. And I don't have the table here in front of me tonight to kind of walk through what those breakpoints are on the Medicare premiums. But now when I start, it's interesting, when we do tax planning for people and we say, well, it really makes a lot of sense for you to pull this income into this tax year, one of the first questions I'll get from anyone who is 65 and on Medicare is, what's it going to do to my Medicare premiums? So tax planning is not just purely income tax planning anymore. You have to factor in, the cost of Medicare. And another thing is, how will it affect the Social Security, the taxation of my Social Security benefits? That's been around for a while, but the questions on what will it do to my Medicare premiums are really new over the past couple of years since they came out with different premium levels depending on your level of income. So just a quick side note as we are talking about year-end planning to don't catch yourself and forget that by doing certain things to benefit you in taxes, it may actually have a negative impact on something else or a positive impact. So, and Medicare is one I now get asked quite a bit. Okay. Another year-end December 31st deadline kind of item is if you are self-employed, Report your income and expenses on a Schedule C on your tax return. And if you haven't previously done so, you could consider establishing your own personal 401k plan. As a self-employed individual, you are both the employee and the employer, and there is a lot of power and a lot of money that can be set aside on a pre-tax basis into a, they call them solo 401ks, individual 401ks. So if you have a Schedule C and have had a good year from an income standpoint, this is something really to take a close look at. Or if you're new to this, but to being self-employed and you've got some money available to set aside, there's an important deadline. Unlike IRAs, where you have until April 15th to get an account open and make an IRA contribution for the current year, you have until April 15th next year. For an individual 401k to be allowed to make a contribution for 2015, the plan needs to be established and adopted by December 31st. You don't necessarily need to put the money in by December 31st, but you have to have done the paperwork to establish the plan. And again, it allows you as an employee to put in up to 18, you know, depending on your level of profit on your Schedule C, up to $18,000 on a pre-tax basis. If you're over age 50, that goes to $24,000. And then on top of that, as an employer, you could roughly set aside up to 20% of your net profit on a pre-tax basis into one of these solo 401ks, individual 401ks. There's a little bit of calculation that needs to be done to come up with that 20% amount. But just when you start doing the math on it, think about it. Let's say you have $50,000 of profit on your Schedule C. If you're over age 50, potentially we could be talking about, you know, 30-some thousand dollars that could, of that $50,000 of net profit, that could go on a pre-tax basis into an individual 401k. So pretty, pretty compelling to be thinking about that type of plan for self-employed individuals. In terms of when you have to fund, and by the way, this is discretionary funding, so you could establish the plan by December 31st and then decide, you know what, I just don't have anything to really fund for this year. I'm busy paying tuition instead. That's okay. The plan's been established. There's no requirement that you put into it. It's a discretionary funding on your part. And then you would typically have until the extended due date of your tax return to actually fund such an account. So anyway, that's the self-employed retirement plan. So again, we're talking year-end tax planning, everyone. Call if you have a question. Judy Ann's here to take your call. The number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Okay, so we talked a little bit about the timing of income and what kinds of income you might have some control over. And the whole idea is to take advantage of a lower tax bracket in 1 year versus maybe what you expect to be in another year. And so can we accelerate income or can we push income into another year depending on the expected circumstances? The same applies at the end of the year from a deduction standpoint. And a lot of times people have a little more control over the timing of their deductions in general than they do over the timing of their income. Again, it's the same kind of thing. It involves multi-year planning. It involves understanding the nuances of this year's tax situation and next year's tax situation, and understanding what brackets you expect to be in, and then acting accordingly. So a lot of what we do here, for example, focuses on the alternative minimum tax, or AMT for short. And the alternative minimum tax is a separate calculation from the regular income tax. And so you calculate your tax two ways. And guess what? Whichever number comes out more, what a surprise, is the tax that you pay. Well, what puts people into the alternative minimum tax rather than the regular tax is the nature of some of their itemized deductions, particularly state and local income taxes, which are deductible for regular tax purposes but not deductible for alternative minimum tax, and also property taxes, things like miscellaneous deductions. Those are those deductions that exceed 2% of your adjusted gross income. And there's some other differences as well. Those are some of those are the more common ones. And so what we will do with people is first off, want to understand here in 2015, are you subject to the alternative minimum tax? Do we think you're going to be in it? And then we also want to get a general sense of what 2016 is going to look like. And will you be in an alternative minimum tax? And then the key here is, and I just had one that I talked to a client last week about. I very much do not expect they will be in AMT in 2015. I do expect they will be in AMT in 2016. I also believe, based on some of the income they have in 2015, that they still owe some state income tax for 2015. So it is key for them to pay that state income tax before December 31st. That way they're going to get a full deduction on it, on their federal income tax return for that state tax payment. And let's say, for example, if it's $10,000 and they're in a 40% tax bracket, they're going to save $4,000 in federal income tax this year by paying that state income tax payment before the end of the year. If they wait and make that $10,000 payment in 2016, and I'm correct about them being in the alternative minimum tax in 2016, they will not get any tax benefit from that $10,000 tax payment next year at all. They won't get any federal tax savings at all. So there is a great example of where it's $4,000 of savings or nothing. And we see this, and so we're constantly doing multi-year planning for individuals to take advantage of these kind of circumstances. And over the years, we've helped people save a lot of taxes by understanding whether or not they were in AMT from 1 year to the next. Another item. What if, let's say 2015 is an unusually high income year for you, and you are by nature a charitable individual, and you know that you're going to get a higher, at a higher tax rate in 2015. For charitable contributions versus if you wait and make some of those contributions in 2016. So there's nothing wrong at all with you before the end of the year ramping up your charitable giving and maybe accelerating some giving that you were planning on doing in 2016, accelerate that into 2015. Maybe you're not quite sure what organization you want that charitable donation to go to. You're not quite ready to go there yet. Then you could consider something like a donor-advised fund, which is a qualified charitable organization. You can make the donation into the donor-advised fund in 2015, and then in the future, advise the fund on ultimately where you would like that money to go. What other charitable organizations would you like to go? So it is a great year-end strategy to reduce your taxable income this year. And just in case you don't have a particular organization that you're ready to make a larger donation to, think about a donor-advised fund. Other common year-end deduction strategies typically involve the bunching of deductions. You know, there's certain deductions that are subject to a phase-out, or they're not deductible at all until your until they exceed a certain percentage of your adjusted gross income. Things like medical expenses and miscellaneous itemized deductions have thresholds, so you can do some bunching of those types of deductions and pay multi-years worth of expenses in 1 year to try to take advantage of a particular, of being able to deduct some of that because of those thresholds. We're going to go to a break right now, folks, and we will be back in a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services, including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Hello, everyone. This is Rod Young back on Your Financial Choices, talking year-end tax and financial planning. We've got only so many weeks left in the year, but there is still time, folks, to maybe help yourself from an income tax planning perspective. If you have a question for me, we've got a few minutes left in the show tonight and still time to take calls. The number to call is 610-758-758. 8810. So I'm continuing with the topic of year-end planning, focusing on taxes right now. And one item I want to mention real quick, I was just talking about alternative minimum tax planning and how important it is maybe in terms of the timing of making a year-end state estimated tax payment. I've also had clients prepay real estate taxes to take advantage of deductibility in a year where they are not subject to AMT and they expect to be in the next year. And I've just suggested to them, go over to your local real estate tax office and see how far ahead they'll allow you to prepay. Some local tax offices don't like it and won't allow it. Others do. So it is, again, something where I've had some mixed results, but in my mind, if it could possibly benefit you, it can never hurt to ask. Year-end capital gain and loss planning. This we'll spend a lot of time on this at Valley National between now and the end of the year, wanting to understand what has been realized in terms of taxable short-term and long-term gains for the year, and taking into account year-end capital gain distributions and trying to do the best that we can to mitigate capital gain tax. And so it's important for us to understand the capital gain tax bracket of our clients. There's potential if you are in a 10 or 15% ordinary income tax bracket that you could have your long-term gains and qualified dividends subject to 0% tax. I've got one longtime client who we've been working out of some very low basis stock that they have. Significant gains built up in it over the years, and slowly over the years we've been reducing those positions by calculating at this time every year how much capital gain they can take, how much long-term gain they can take at a 0% bracket, and we get it pretty close every year, and we've been gradually reducing those positions over time. To control taxes and then diversifying those positions as well. One thing, I kind of preach this over and over again throughout the year, our goal at the end of the year, unless you happen to be in the 0% tax bracket, we hate net short-term capital gains. And so at a minimum, make sure you're talking to your investment team to understand where they are year to date on net short-term gains and what could be done to eliminate those, those net short-term gains and bring those down as close to, if not below zero. And keep in mind, if you harvest losses at the end of the year and you end up with a net loss on your net capital loss on your tax return, you're actually allowed to take up to $3,000 if you're a married couple, $1,500 if you're an individual. You can take $3,000 of loss and use that to offset other sources of income. So, and if you have an excess capital loss above that $3,000 threshold, that loss can be carried forward to, you don't lose it, you can carry it forward to offset future capital gains, at least for federal tax purposes. You don't get that loss carry forward for Pennsylvania, or I know we have a lot of New Jersey listeners, you don't get that for New Jersey either. So that's keep an eye on your capital gain distributions from your mutual funds in December, and you may then have time from the time those distributions are paid to the end of the year to take some losses if it makes sense to offset capital gain distributions. And another year-end planning investment item is we typically try to avoid making any large mutual fund purchases shortly before a fund is planning on paying its capital gain distribution. Doesn't matter if it's a retirement account, but if we're talking a non-qualified taxable account, don't buy a large year-end capital gain distribution. And all the fund companies publish their capital gain distribution payment dates. So between now and the end of the year, we're going to be a little careful on making sure we're not buying some large capital gains in a mutual fund. I think we've talked about estimated payments, and particularly the timing is critical. If you have had some significant income come in the fourth quarter of the year here, and you are in the habit of making quarterly estimated tax payments, evaluate what those fourth quarter payments should be and bump them up if you feel you need to. Another planning issue that we deal with a lot at year end with people is those wonderful required minimum distributions. So these are the distributions that you are required to take from your retirement accounts in order to avoid a 50% penalty, which is one of the biggest penalties in the tax code. So we are all over making sure that these required minimum distributions happen. So real quick, if you turned age 70 and a half prior to 2015, then make sure to have your required minimum distribution withdrawn by 12/31. If you turned age 70 and a half in 2015, then for this first year only, you have a grace period. You have until April 1st, 2016 to take the 2015 distribution. The important thing to understand there is if you take advantage of that and take your first distribution between January 1 and April 1st, next year, that means in 2016, you would then have to take two required minimum distributions, which may or may not make sense depending on other sources of income, deductions, and what have you in your personal tax situation. So there have been times when we have had clients take advantage of that grace period and push the required minimum distribution. You also hear it referred to as an RMD. There have been times when we have it has made sense from a tax standpoint to delay that first distribution and double up in that next year. More often than not, we typically, to avoid that 2 years worth of distribution in 1 year, more often than not, we are taking that initial required minimum distribution by 12/31 of the year that the individual takes, turns age 70 and a half. Okay, a couple other things to talk about from a year-end planning perspective. Extenders. What the heck's an extender? Every year, there are expiring provisions in the Internal Revenue Code, and every year, November, December, it seems it's even happened that it hasn't happened until January, and they've made it retroactive, which really makes planning rather difficult. But every year they have these expiring provisions, and it seems every year Congress looks at it and they kind of hem and haw and don't take action. And then in December they finally pass a bill that says, yeah, you know all those things that just expired the end of last year? We're going to extend them again till the end of this year for you. Doesn't give you a lot of time to plan, but I'll just quick run down the list of what some of the more common expiring provisions are. So the state and local sales tax deduction, this really applies not so much, I don't see it a lot for people in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, because we have a state income tax. But for anyone listening or anyone who knows somebody as a family member, parent, whatever, maybe who's in Florida and where there is no state income tax, they can actually deduct their sales, their Florida sales tax on their tax return. Basically, what you do is you get to deduct the higher of your state and local income tax or your sales tax. So for those of you living in a state that has an income tax, that's typically a higher number than your sales tax deduction. Anyway, that has not been extended yet. I would expect that that deduction would be part of any extender's package. There is a deduction on the front page of Form 1040 for tuition, higher education, college tuition and fees. It's subject to phase outs at certain income levels. This is separate from being able to take a tax credit, like a lifetime learning credit or American Opportunity Tax Credit. So right now, the higher education tuition and fees deduction has not been extended. Also, there's for you teachers out there that get to deduct your classroom expenses, and there's a limit. I think it's $250. That deduction has not yet been extended. And then the direct transfer, if you're 70 and a half and taking those required minimum distributions, you're allowed to do a direct transfer of a required minimum distribution to a charity, and there's some tax advantages to doing that. That has not yet been extended yet. And the deductibility of mortgage insurance premiums as interest expense on Schedule A, that has not yet been extended. So some other year-end things there to be thinking about in your overall tax planning for the year. Real quick, before we end the show tonight, hot off the presses, there has been a law that was signed on November 2nd, the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015, that has an impact on certain Social Security strategies. So this is not any kind of overhaul of Social Security benefits. Nothing's changing to the Social Security formulas or anything like that. But there are a couple popular strategies that people have used over the years to try to maximize their Social Security benefits. One of those is a strategy that was referred to as file and suspend, and another one was called a restricted application for benefits. So I think the important thing to understand, I would Google Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015 and Social Security changes, and understand that there's been some grandfathering done here. So the file and suspend strategy, you now have until May 1st, 2016 to execute a Social Security file and suspend strategy. May 1st, 2016. So the people that should whose ears should be perked up is anyone who is between age 61 and a half and 69, 70, that has not yet taken advantage of a file and suspend strategy, has not yet filed for Social Security benefits. They want to pay attention to this because you now have a May 1st deadline. So be talking to your financial planner, your financial advisor, and say, hey, I heard this guy talking on the radio the other night about file and suspend and some changes to that strategy for Social Security purposes. The restricted application for benefits, that if you're age 62 by 12/31/2015, that has been your grandfathered. Otherwise, that is the ability to make that is going to go away. So make sure you understand that if you're in that time frame where you're ready to be looking hard at applying for Social Security. Hot off the presses, new law, November 2nd. Folks, the hour's up. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Judy Ann. Thank you, John. And as Lori would say, remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Thanks a lot, everyone.
And good job, Rod. Good to have you back with us. And we look forward to seeing you in the future. Rod Young with Your Financial Choices. And we look forward to having Lori Siebert return to us next week.